is definitely an e-ticket.
Roger that, Sally.
Set your alarm clocks to Jen LaFranc on Wednesdays from 6 to 8 a.m. for On the Tracks. I'll bring you the best new music in roots Americana,
rock,
R&B, and soul right here on CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
CJSF is 90.1 FM, broadcasting from the heights of Burnaby Mountain.
Today on Wings, challenges female reporters go through while covering protests in Kenya. A report by Diana Wanyonyi.
Police is arresting you and demanding you to delete that photo. If not, he's forced to take your camera and delete it by force. We don't want like that. We want respect. They should respect my job. I respect their job.
First of all, as a journalist, those press jackets, just to show anybody that this is from the press, no, I didn't have. The only protective gear that I had was my recorder, my phone, and a press card. That is the only protective gears that I have. I have nothing more.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Those are the sounds of protesters running away from the crowd after the police started tear gassing and shooting them with rubber bullets. These protests happened in different regions of the country during the first planned protest that was held on 25th June 2024. Here, youths are heard singing different songs criticizing the government against tax increase proposed by the government in the financial bill 2024. The bill had new taxes on essential items such as sanitary towels, among others. Also, they were lamenting over broken promises by the government and corruption. 60 protesters were killed and many others injured. Also, protesters stormed the Kenyan parliament in Nairobi during the anti-government protests. On 24th of July 2024, Kenyan journalists based in coastal region participated in peaceful demonstration to push the government to investigate and give detailed reports on cases where journalists were shot, kidnapped, or were threatened by security personnel when covering the ongoing anti-government protests in Kenya. Day-to-day activities came to a standstill along Moi Avenue in the central business district of Mombasa, where the journalists carried placards with slogans that had words that pleaded to the government and police to leave them alone so as to perform their duties. Written placards with pictures of an injured female journalist who was shot in Nakuru Rift Valley region while she was covering youth protest. It was easy for them to tell it through such a display. They sang the national anthem and other songs in Swahili language with the main message that they will not be silenced by anyone and that their rights of speech should be respected. Sophia Abdi is a journalist in Mombasa.
We are here basically for many reasons, but generally for journalist harassment. For the past few weeks that we've been engaging in our duties of journalism, We have experienced journalists being harassed, especially with the current Gen Z protests that we took to the ground to cover the events of protest. But things have turned out to be different from what we expected, because as a journalist, we know that we are protected by the Constitution on the Article 34. We have the Cap 1 of the Article 34 that gives us the freedoms of exercising our duty. But this has turned out to be different because we've been seeing some of our fellows being attacked directly. And this is so sad, especially coming from the government that are supposed to protect us, just like the way it is stipulated in the Kenyan Constitution. And we are here to say that this is not right, and we should be left to do our work. We should be given that freedom to do our work without being harassed. We've seen some of us who have been attacked, like the case in Nakuru. One of our own was shot, and currently she's operating in the hospital. And many whom some have recorded their statements, and others maybe they're just nursing injuries. Yesterday there were demonstrations in Mombasa, and even one of our own was hit directly by a tear gas canister, whom up to now has not been able to come to this place because of the pain that is currently going on. This is not right, and as journalists, we are not the target. We are not the people who are protesting. We are here to give the Kenyans and the everybody the message that is on the ground. We are here for the truth, and we are not here to please anyone.
A year later, Gen Zs, or rather younger youths, on the 25th of June 2025, held a protest to celebrate the first anniversary of their protest in 2024. During this anti-government protest, at least 31 people died and more than 500 were arrested across Kenya. I interviewed Yvonne Sasha, a female journalist based in Mombasa. She is now 8 years in the media, and she has covered the two protests.
My name is Yvonne Sasha. I am a crime reporter and also a court reporter, and I do a bit of politics. I like covering crime cases because each and every day there is a crime in Kenya. Crime is not to kill someone, to call it a crime. A crime can be violation of human rights, that's a crime. A crime can be fights, clashes, and all that. And every day there is a report of crime reporting in Kenya, especially in this generation. People are so depressed, people are so tired with life, so some feel like committing suicide, not because they want to, but it is because where their life has pushed them to the wall.
The recent demonstrations in Kenya, did you do some coverage about it?
Yes, I did. And I was also among the protesters. And I can say for it, those people are serious. And if the president will not take serious about their demands or their needs, it's going to be worse than it is right now. Because there's no need, like a president, you give orders to security operators to shoot. That is like to kill. You cannot tell someone to shoot. And we have courts. What was that built for? Mm-hmm. Arrest someone, take him to court, let the court decide to do what they want to do with him. But you cannot give orders because you are a leader that they should shoot. You cannot cater for those medication. Some people are poor. They are protesting because they want you to reduce the economic of living standard. The food prices are too high. They cannot afford. They are protesting for you to listen to their cries. You want them to be shot, to be taken to hospital. Will you pay for their bills? Of course not.
Why did you participate?
First, I participated because I'm a Gen Z. Second, I participated because I am a Kenyan. And thirdly, because I'm also in the same space. If the Kenyan's food price goes high, it's also affect me. Not because I'm a journalist that my food price is being sold different from others. We are being buy at the same price. We are being discriminated the same. So As I cover the protest, I also protest because I also fight for my rights. Not because I'm a journalist, I live a luxurious life, but we are also suffering. We are all Kenyans. We need to be straightforward to the president. Currently, I can say the taxes is too high. Even people fear to go to the bank because of too much taxes. Nowadays, people prefer being paid by M-Pesa or cash, because if you say you are being paid 40,000, you end up with 28,000. Paying too much taxes and there's no development in Kenya. I think the main reason why Gen Z are doing protests every now and then is to condemn the killings of our fellow youths. And also they demand that the president to listen to their grievances. If the president ignores the cry of the youth, they will use force to demand it. First, the government should consider the economic of Kenyans, make the life easy for Kenyans and things will be smooth. Secondly, we need a good leadership. If you have a good leader in Kenya, definitely people will not protest. Thirdly, we need to be heard. After every week is a protest, after every week is a protest, it means that their demands have not been met. Unemployment, yes, it contributes, but 75%, not 100%, because you see, most of the company nowadays employ older people than young youth. They say young youths, they are coming to the company to rob and to be lazy. That is what youth doesn't want, because these older people also depend on us for support. If we don't have a job, who will support them? If they call us robbers, we rob on their companies. Who will employ us? So they need to give us a chance. We prove ourselves differently.
Did you witness any violence to the protesters?
Actually, in Mombasa, there was no harassment, but only the first one was about the tear gas. The people are demonstrating peacefully. Then police from nowhere, because they are idle and they want to see people rioting, they throw tear gas so that the youth can become furious and start asking them, why are you throwing tear gas? So that the commotion will start and they start violence. It was messy and it was not good, because it was police are throwing tear gas, they are throwing back stones, because it's like, we have not done anything. Why are you throwing us tear gas on us? See, we have no weapons to fight back. So what the weapons that they have is like stones and whatever they can collect on the street.
Mm-hmm. On Wings, you are listening to Yvonne Sasha, a female journalist in Mombasa, speaking to me, Diana Wanyonyi, about covering the Gen Z riots.
Apart from chaotic and burning cars, the shot was not done by the police. It was done by a fellow Kenyan. The boys were distracting his hotel and demanded food, and they wanted to grab everything inside. So the guy got furious and take a gun and shoot the boy and injured him on his arm and on the neck. So I think such action is quite terrifying.
As a female journalist, Sasha, how do you prepare yourself before covering the protests?
First, you must have a positive mentality that when you are on the protest, you are not on any side, because there you can be a target. So first, you must prepare yourself mentally and you know your steps. Secondly, you must wear the protective gears during the protest. For example, press jackets, helmets, which some company offers, some don't. And also, you must keep distance. Know where you're supposed to be. If the crowd is against the police, you should target your point of coverage. If the police is against the crowd, you should know also the point of coverage.
What is your take about sometimes last year, there are women journalists who were tear gassed in Nairobi during the Gen Z protests?
I condemn the action, because journalists are just messengers. And without journalists, there is no news. Even the bloggers are journalists. Whatever, even a citizen can become a journalist, because whatever you post on social media that reports, that give a newsworthy report, you are a journalist. So I condemn the act, and the police should know what their role are.
After covering the protests, have you ever gone for mental assessment?
I have never, not because I don't want to, but because there are no chances. Human rights are there to fight for rights, but not to fight for your mental health. They don't have facilities to offer journalists that, and mental programs to offer journalists during and after protest. But they wait until they see you depressed or in too much pain. That is when they consider you. National government should provide facilities for mental health, not only for journalists, but also for citizens. Because people suffer mentally in one way or another with different challenges. So I think it is the problem of the national government. They should offer in different regions and sub-counties.
Sasha, what are some of the threats you encountered during covering of this protest?
I've never encountered any threats, and I hope I will not. For the colleagues, some have, like you are being taking a picture of a police beating a raya, and police is arresting you and demanding you to delete that photo. If not, he's forced to take your camera and delete it by force, which we don't want like that. We want respect. They should respect my job. I respect their job.
Do you think women journalists were safe during covering protests?
I can say it depends on the area of coverage. Some are very violent and chaotic. Some are very peaceful. So it depends on the area of coverage. But to say 75%, it is not that safe, because if you are a woman and you find yourself in the middle of men, they will touch you, they will harass you, they will grab you, and you won't feel safe. So as a woman, we are not that safe. I can't say we are that safe.
Have you ever covered these youths who were arrested during the protest?
Yes, I have. They are being brought there, the charges are being read. They are being released on bond or cash bail. And some ended up with witnesses cases. Some ended up being imprisoned and others being released. My message is that the national government, including the leaders of the country, should listen to women, to youths, and the citizen at large. Let them come open. Let them listen to why are they protesting. Are we not doing right?
A word for female journalists covering protests in Kenya?
For the women, I can just advise them to be cautious. They say God for us, man for himself. So when you are in the protest, just know you are yourself. Avoid crowds, crowded areas. Avoid rough men. Just be with your colleagues so you trust them, and wear protective gears.
That was Yvonne Sasha. While I was in Mombasa, I also spoke with Winnie Chisakadeche, another Gen Z radio journalist whose 4-year career has included covering youth demonstrations.
I work for Coco FM and I do general stories. It's difficult. It's tiresome reporting and field work, because sometimes you have to walk like 2 to 3 kilometers looking for stories. Sometimes the sources, they're not willing to talk to, especially when you're a radio reporter. The main thing that made me to join journalism is I was born and raised in a rural area where we don't know anything about media. We don't have journalists. It's very rare to see a journalist covering stories from our area. I think that is the main thing that made me to think that I can now be an amplifier, to amplify the voices from those areas. Before deciding to be a journalist, I was having so many options. Like, first of all, I wanted to be an air hostess. While in high school, I wanted to be a lawyer. While in primary, I wanted to be a doctor. But I didn't manage to go that way. And after high school, I had a very difficult time to choose and decide which career I should engage in. And In fact, I had a conflict with my dad because he wanted me to study education. He wanted me to be a teacher, but I didn't want to be a teacher. It took me like 5 to 6 months to decide the career that I would want to be in. And finally, I decided to study journalism.
How does your father feel about your career?
He feels so good, so proud, by the way. I remember while reporting, I used to call myself Winnie Chitsaka, which is Winnie and Chitsaka, they're both my names. Yeah. So I was not including my dad, Deche. So he was complaining, like, why are you not using my name? You are using both your names. So it was difficult. Like, I have already introduced myself to the audience as Winnie Chitsaka, and now here comes my dad. He wants his name to be included through that. So he's proud of me, by the way. So I didn't change the name, but I also included his name. So I was using three names: Winnie, Chitsaka, Deche. Yeah.
In Kenya, we have witnessed several protests by Gen Zs. Have you covered these protests?
Yes, as from day one, 25th of June 2024. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been covering these protests since that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How was it?
First of all, as a journalist, the only protective gear that I had was my recorder, my phone, and a press card. That is the only thing that I had by that time, and I also have as per now. And
you have
a recorder, mm-hmm. a phone, and a press card.
And now
I also have those things as my protective gears. I have nothing more. Yeah. So as a journalist, I just wake up from my home, my house, and just go to the field covering maandamano without anything to protect me, without anything like those press jackets, just to show anybody that this is from the press. No, I didn't have.
Have you ever been tear gassed, Winnie?
Yes. Well, it is not a good thing for someone to experience, because first of all, you'll cry by force. And it's like it blocks your, what should I say, your nose. Like, you're getting it hard to breathe. Yeah, like you feel like your chest has blocked. You can't even breathe.
It's congested. Like, it's,
yes, because the smoke. It's not good, by the way. I don't know how to
explain it. It's that strong. It has strong smell.
Yes. Mm. You feel like, how should I?
It's that bad.
It's very bad, by the way. Sometimes, if I can remember, when was last year, we had a journalist lady from here, Mombasa. She's a camera person, by the way. So, you know, the camera persons, they normally, during the demos, they use vehicles to capture everything. Mm. So while doing their work, the police officers, they threw the tear gas. And I don't know whether it was by bad luck.
Or a target,
because the tear gas went direct to the car where they were. And if I can remember...
A double cabin car.
Yes, yes, yes. And if I can remember, that lady, she had to stop whatever she was doing. She had to stop work and went home, because it was hard for her to continue. Because if you have experienced this tear gas, now you know what I mean and how it affects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry to hear that, Winnie. This is part of our work anyway. So what can you tell the government? What can you tell the Gen Zs? What can you tell the public? And what advice can you give your fellow female journalists?
First of all, I'll talk to our employers, the media owners and our employers, that while sending a reporter out there to cover demos, first of all, you have to look or think his or her safety. Like, we need protective gears to protect ourselves first before doing the work that you're sending us. And another thing, our police officers, we are doing our work as you are doing yours. So just give us time and place to do our work. Yeah. And don't target us. We are not targeting you as well, because we are just
messengers.
Yeah, we are just messengers and showing the world or our fellow Kenyans what is going out and going there. Mm-hmm. And to our Gen Zs, me being one of them, I think now we have cried a lot. Mm-hmm. We have lost so many lives. Mm-hmm. And I think now it's time to engage our leaders and talk to them. And I think we should stop demos, because we are losing a lot of lives here. Mm-hmm. Our fellow youth are being killed. So all the time...
Others are hospitalized.
Yes. So every time... We are just crying, we are just going out there to demonstrate that someone has been killed by police officers. And remember, if I for example, if I get killed today, you go out there demonstrating, then others are being killed as well. So we'll be crying every day if we'll not stop this.
For our fellow women journalists who are covering the demonstration, the protests, what message do you have for them?
Our safety first. Mm-hmm. Before anything else. Okay, we are working, yes, but let's consider ourselves safety first. Mm-hmm. No story is worth our lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's consider our safety first. I don't feel good, because things that have so many chaos, it needs preparations. It needs protective gears, because anything might happen while there. It needs like a training, so that you'll know that while covering this protest, I'm supposed to do this, to be prepared physically, mentally, like you're being told while there, this is what you're supposed to do, you are not supposed to do this and this as a journalist.
That was Winnie Chisaka Deche, a radio journalist in Kenya, elaborating on challenges female journalists go through while covering protests in Kenya.
The only protective gear that I had as a journalist was my recorder, my phone, and a press card. That is the only protective gears that I have. I have nothing more.
In Mombasa, I am Diana Wanyonyi for Wings.
Diana Wanyonyi is an award-winning radio journalist in Kenya. She's been contributing stories to Wings since 2016. Wings has been covering the global women's movement and related issues since 1986, in collaboration with community radio producers, freelance reporters, and now podcast producers as well. Find more, including links to recent and archived programs, through our website, wings.org. We also post in the name Wings Radio on bluesky.social. Wings gives heartfelt thanks to all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughan, whose events can be streamed from the website maternalgifteconomymovement.org. That's all one word, maternalgifteconomymovement.org. I'm Wings co-founder Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Yo, it's Eboshi.
Hey, this is Eboshi from Cartel Madras, and you're listening to CJSF.
I was on the back of your mind. I was on the back of your lap. You were in the back of the car. You were in the back of my heart. I was in the back of the bar. You know what I do, take things too far. Don't know where to start or begin. Don't know how it ends. Don't know how to say what I meant. Don't know how to say.
say how I feel. Baby, is it real? I was like 34 double D's, you know what I like. Ice cold.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby, BC.